402.
A couple of great whites spotted at Cape Cod. Wouldn't you know it, Labor Day weekend, they had to close some of the beaches. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging with you. We're going to labor along for 4 big hours here on ATN. Your visa expires, no problem, as long as you have friends underneath the wire and you can earn a living. You can stay here as long as you like. We talked about this a little bit last week. More on that. Also, the education secretary says the furor over Obama's speech that he's going to make next week is silly. And actually, there's a couple of people that agree on the Republican side of things, including former House Speaker Newt Gingrich and Senate Republican Conference co-chairman Lamar Alexander, who says the same thing, that if the president wants to address the school kids, he should. We've got the latest on that because that text is going to become available tomorrow, and I'll give you some more thoughts on why I think it was a mistake. It was a mistake for a couple of different reasons, and mostly it's because this administration is unprepared, so they never sell it right. Speaking of not selling it right, and here's where we begin, the Green Czar quits. Yep, Van Jones, the man pushing for more jobs in energy-efficient industries, was caught in a spider's web after a couple of things. One, calling the Republicans a-holes several times. Yeah, that wasn't a good thing. Then there was the thing that he did, where he signed a petition in 2004 supporting the 9/11 Truther movement, which, of course, believes the Bush administration might have been involved in the September 11, 2001 terror attacks, which is never good for someone who ends up in an administration afterwards, right? And then there were a couple of other things connected to him as well. In fact, several things. So you knew his ship was sinking. And ultimately, he decided to resign right smack in the middle of Labor Day weekend because there was all of this controversy that was starting to be dredged up. Once again, what is the problem? Well, you appoint 30-some czars and you don't vet really any of them out thoroughly because these aren't congressionally approved positions. So then little controversies seep out that, gosh, you had no idea about or you didn't think were going to be a big deal. This is what I do not get about the Obama administration. They cannot be that stupid, knowing that this is complete fodder for anybody. Of course, it's right there for anyone to find. We live in the Internet era. If all of us did a little bit of digging, we could dig up some of this stuff. So anyway, Robert Gibbs, the White House spokesperson, had this to say on George Stephanopoulos' show today.
Well, what Van Jones decided was that the agenda of this president was bigger than any one individual. The president thanks Van Jones for his service in the first 8 months in helping to coordinate renewable energy jobs that are going to lay the foundation for our future economic growth.
But did the president want him to go?
Well, the president and the CEQ accepted his resignation because Van Jones, as he says in his statement, understood that he was going to get in the way of the president and ultimately this country moving forward on something as important as creating jobs in a clean energy economy.
All right, do you love this? So once again, of course, they're sidestepping the issue. Did the president want him to step down, or did he just decide on his own he's going to step down? And really, what does the president think of that? Of course, you don't get anything out of Gibbs, just more of the two-step that you constantly get, I think, from him whenever he holds any of his White House briefings. Again, this is part of the problem. The only thing he would say is that Obama doesn't endorse Jones's statements, any of the associations either. That's it, pretty much. And the White House advisor, David Axelrod, chipped in his 2 cents and said Obama didn't order him out of the door, but commended him for the decision to step down, saying he showed his commitment to the cause by removing himself as an issue. So that's what they're sticking with. When someone becomes an issue, they go suddenly into that good night. The garbage disposal. You're done with. We didn't really vet you correctly. We didn't realize just how radioactive you were going to be once a bunch of things were uncovered about you that just don't jive with what you have to do politically. Now, Howard Dean, the former Democratic National Committee chairman, you might have seen him. He was on Fox News Sunday. He said it was a big loss for the country to lose a guy like Jones. You know, Jones is a guy who was a self-described communist during the 1990s. He worked with a group that was dedicated to a Marxist and Leninist philosophies openly. And, of course, his comments in a bunch of years recently were pretty radical. He blamed white polluters, white environmentalists for what he called steering poison to minority communities. And in 2005, even, he drew a distinction between white and black kids involved in some shooting incidents by referencing the Columbine High School massacre with things that happened in the ghetto and a couple of other places. And, you know, so, of course, all this stuff starts to surface. And then he got a bunch of attention because a video comes to light that shows him calling Republicans a-holes during an address in Berkeley. So that's the thing that's going to get you pinched in politics, on either side, let's face it. But it comes back to the main thing. It comes back to this once again. Here's a guy, you put him in charge of these green jobs, right? Senator Kit Bond from Missouri said it best. You got to reassure the American people that, hey, this government is safe from these counterproductive sentiments, from these incendiary comments. And, you know, Jones was that kind of guy. He was going to be radioactive. There's no question about it. So it's not a surprise that there were calls for his resignation, right? You know, Lamar Alexander, who's actually sticking up for Obama on the addressing the kids next week, on the right to do that and to, you know, shouldn't the president be able to do that? So, but on the other hand, he says, look, these guys are an affront to the Constitution. I mean, what's the deal? I've said this all along. The vetting process is ridiculous. They just don't do a good job. They don't investigate these people. They just point them. They just appoint them. It'd be like you or I. Suddenly we're in a government position. You might have some great friends. Maybe they're a little bit radioactive, and they really wouldn't fit into whatever it is your administration's going to be in whatever state that you live in. And wouldn't it be uncovered? Wouldn't the people start to say, what are you thinking? Why do you have this guy on the payroll? And that was the problem all along. That was the problem, because you got somebody that close to the president and one of our branches of government, and really they haven't been approved by Congress. They haven't been vetted. That just adds more fuel to the fire that what are these guys doing? What are they doing in Washington? They don't get it. I get that. I get that I would have to go through that process with people I know. There may be, it's like I said, there may be people you know that you think would be great if they were on your team in a government position. But what if you all of a sudden realized your friend was a Marxist and you didn't know it, said this, said that, blah, blah, blah. They wouldn't be able to play for your team. You know that. And this guy clearly was too radicalized for that White House. Again, another blunder by the administration, period. So what happens next? How many other czars will fall? I'd have to think there may be one or two more. This has been like now number three or four, right? So he decides to step aside because there's too much controversy, and that's the bottom line there. Is anybody out there surprised that Van Jones decided to step away quietly on a Labor Day weekend? I'm not. I'm not surprised one bit. Coming up on the flip side for something completely different, speaking of being able to understand issues, how about the issues in inner city schools? Dr. Richard Gordon talks about the difference between black and white students and what's going on in education next on America Tonight.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit purebulk.com. That's purebulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results with your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Happy Labor Day, everybody. Kate Delaney here on America Tonight. Hope you've had time to enjoy it with your family now. Some kids are already back in school across America. In fact, they've been back for a couple of weeks. Others, particularly in the Northeast, a lot of people don't go back to school. A lot of the schools don't start up again until after Labor Day. When I was a kid, I grew up outside of Philly, and that's what we did. And it was always Labor Day. That was it. The end of the summer, you were there. You were at the Jersey Shore till the very last day. The sun was going down. You were getting in the car. You already had your pressed uniform back at home. And that was all she wrote. You know, in urban schools, there's so many things that are happening. And I've gone and talked to a bunch of kids, and I've seen some of the situations where, of course, they're going through metal detectors. And then you look at the vandalism and the problem in Detroit. Boy, they were slammed with vandalism, but not just Detroit, in Philadelphia and Chicago and some schools in some areas. And what you're concerned about is, what about these kids? Are they slipping through the cracks? How do you get to these kids? What's it like to grow up and go to an inner city school? Joining us now, pleasure to welcome him on this holiday. He's a man with Harvard behind him, Dr. Richard Gordon, and he joins us now. Hey, Doc, thanks for coming on the show.
Good evening. Pleasure to be here. I'm a Jersey boy originally, too.
You are? All right. Excellent. So you know of what I speak. Labor Day. It's always Labor Day was the day. Boom, we were going back after that.
Same thing, sure. Same thing.
Yeah. It is sad. I mean, I've gone to some of these schools and talked to some of the kids and stuff, and I met some great, impressive kids that have managed to have good mentors and found ways to, you know, get to the next level, like, let's say, high school, get to college and whatnot. But I've also seen and heard from teachers that a lot of kids fall through the cracks. But what people always want to know is why. Why does that happen? Is it because nobody wants to teach there, so you have awful teachers? Is it because there's just no money? There isn't any money behind these schools. Nobody wants to pump any money there. What is it in general that has plunged our inner city schools, so many of them, into this dire situation?
Yeah, Well, you've hit the nail right on the head. First thing is, they are far worse than anybody realizes. They are horrible in every way. First, in terms of academic achievement, if you take the state, you take the data, and they're very specific by race and by school district, and you will find in every single case that the inner cities are the lowest by far. I mean, it's not even close. And the reason, the main thing is you know, why? Everybody agrees on the statistics. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say, well, no, it's not true. The statistics, I mean, it's tons of them. So the question is why, and I know you're kind of short of time, so I'll just try to cover some of the things, and I'll be brief so you can, you know, jump in. I'd rather do
sure.
it that way. One of the main reasons people give is money, and that is just an absolute lie. It's a myth. Okay, people have gotten rich writing books like Jonathan Kozol on this subject, implying that if only the money were the same, the kids would learn. Not true. Not true at all. And the money is not that much different. If you factor in what the state gives these inner-city schools, plus what the federal government gives in terms of special programs, special educational programs, plus the lunch program, plus the breakfast program, it's about the same. And I always challenge people. You go to any inner city school. Take Dallas, for example, which I know mm-hmm. cold. I go in a closet in any of these rooms, and it's full of materials and computers. Half of them haven't even been used yet. It's not the materials. That has nothing to do with it. That's just some kind of excuse. Okay? The main reason, and this is not that many people really get into this. The main reason is that the kids don't want to learn, that their peer group is such that they say that learning is acting like whitey. That's being white. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to do that. And so when you check the black achievement level, mm-hmm. irrespective of socioeconomic class, mm-hmm. it is the lowest by district and by state, and it never changes. The data are remarkable, and if you go back and you figure out why, well, the main reason is that these kids go after each other. Hey, you trying to learn? Don't act white. That's not the way to do it. Another reason, and there are a few of them. That I would say is the main one. The family structure is not helping in the inner city. You have many of the black and Latino families are just one parent. And often they don't value education as much as other people. And as a result, the kids don't respect the teachers. They don't respect education. They don't look upon it as the way to get ahead in the world. Their values are completely different. I'll keep quiet because I know you're
having
a time, and you can ask me anything specific.
Sure, let me jump in there.
You
know this subject backwards and forwards. Okay, so the first thing you said when you talk about the kids, you don't want to be like whitey. Forget that, yo, punk. I understand that, like, gangs and the whole philosophy and whatever, and so you have that serious peer pressure. How do you crack that code? That's pretty tough. How do you do that?
Yeah, there's no easy answer. One of the things that they're experimenting with is this black professor, used to be a black professor at Harvard, and he's now working in New York City, and they're paying kids to get good grades. And, you know, it may be working a little bit, but something's got to be done to crack this feeling. This philosophy that tomorrow doesn't come. See, these kids think tomorrow doesn't come, so, hey, why study? Why sacrifice? Why prepare? Tomorrow it's not going to come. So it's a very difficult question. And another way to do it is to get black leaders, good leaders like Bill Cosby. I think he was absolutely on the right track, acting as role models and telling them, you know, what the deal really is. And Barack Obama too. I'm not one of those that criticizes him for everything. And his idea of talking to the kids and talking about the value of education is first rate.
Well, the problem with the Barack Obama thing was, unfortunately, what I find there is the people around him with this speech, they should have just approached the school districts and said, listen, here's the copy of it. This is what we're talking about because
they're going to
release it. It's 18 minutes, and it's all just about school. It has nothing to do with anything else. But, of course, that wasn't told to anyone, so then it became extremely hot potato controversial. And there's even now, I said this, a couple of hardcore Republicans who are backing Obama and saying, listen, people just didn't realize what he was doing. It was another blunder by the administration of not paving the way correctly.
Yeah, but, well said. I absolutely agree with you. Yeah.
But, you know, here, what about, like, the Tiger? Because no matter what anyone says, black superstar athletes are the role models. There's no question.
Yeah.
So what about getting more of them involved? More
absolutely.
Speeches, more
fine.
Shaqs,
and
more Tiger Woods,
et cetera. I don't like the idea of a school that's completely, let's say, all black or all Hispanic. I think they should be bigger and they should be more heterogeneous and they should have more models of kids who are learning and interested and black kids are interested. In other words, I would just close these inner city schools and start over again. They are simply disasters. You know, you said you were from outside of Philly.
Yeah.
Do you know Camden, New Jersey?
Oh, very
public
well.
Schools?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have hit bottom. You have hit the absolute bottom in the world almost when you go to Camden and especially when you see those schools. And they haven't changed. They've been like that for 40 years. And they're violent and there's no learning going on. And they pay the teachers a fortune, by the way. I mean, they pay these teachers. And there's another thing. They love to blame the teachers. You can't blame the teachers, okay? The problem is not the teachers. You get teachers who want – you can't teach if the kids don't want to learn. The parents don't cooperate. The administrators don't cooperate. You can't blame the teachers. Now, the teachers who teach in inner-city schools do tend to be less experienced and less educated. But still, that's not the main problem. It's a minor problem at best. And they, people love to blame others, the teachers, the administrators, whites, and losing excuses when, you know, that's not really the problem.
Right, because they're not looking in the mirror at their own, at themselves and what they could probably do, even in a single-parent family, what they could do for their kids by influencing them more positively as far as education, right?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, you've got The Emperor Has No Clothes. How can we get a copy of that? You've got that out.
Yeah, sure. The name of my book is The Emperor Has No Clothes, The Crisis in American Inner City Schools. And the easiest way to get it, it's not hard. You go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com and Richard J. Gordon, Ph.D., and punching it that way, you can order it and get it in a couple days. So again,
right.
The Emperor Has No Clothes, The Crisis
right.
in American Inner City Schools.
We got it. Dr. Gordon, keep fighting the good fight, okay? And we'll have you back on America Tonight.
Hey, anytime, call me back. We talk about Camden, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, I know all about Camden, boy. Just a stone throw away from where I grew up. Real desperation there. Stay with us here on ATN.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days. But many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit ecoloblue.com. EcoloBlue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator, producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Ecola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. I want to tell you about BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean. It is absolutely the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms all competitive cleaners. BioGreenClean is the product. It's tough enough to take on virtually any cleaning challenge, yet gentle enough for your baby's toys. That's right. BioGreenClean is plant-derived and contains no harmful chemicals, solvents, and no annoying fragrances. If you want spectacular and unprecedented results from a revolutionary cleaning product, look no further. BioGreenClean is the cleaning product that you've been waiting for. It's that simple. It's super, and it's easy to order. Just go to www.biogreenclean.com. That's www.biogreenclean.com. BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean.com. Try it today. You'll be glad you did. BioGreenClean. It cleans anything.
If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, RMApply.com has a message that is vitally important for you and your family. Did you know that you may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM benefits? Visit RMApply.com and apply for free to see how much you are entitled to. Right now, people just like you are taking advantage of their benefits and using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, and support this show's sponsors. You may be entitled to hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's your money, and you're entitled to it. Apply for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Or call them today for a free, no-obligation evaluation to see how much you qualify for. Call 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155 today.
Coming up here on America Tonight, we have birthdays this day in history and news you can abuse. Right now, we're going to zig and zag all over the place, give you some of the top headlines, and fill you in on some of the strange things that happened as well. Michael Jackson, of course, finally laid to rest. Liz Taylor turned out for his funeral. So did a slew of other stars. And, of course, this happened swinging in to the weekend on Friday. So you had Katherine Jackson overcome. I saw a little thing of her on the tube. Gladys Knight performed the Our Father. And, like I said, Elizabeth Taylor was there, Lisa Marie Presley, Barry Bonds, Macaulay Culkin, Al Sharpton gave the eulogy at the event. Remember, he did a public thing. I guess it was maybe a couple of months or a month and a half ago, however long it's been now. He was also part of that. Here's the interesting thing. The memorabilia for Michael Jackson continues to sell. Remember, he was $4 million or whatever it was, $400 million in debt when he died. That's quickly being made up. He's going to surpass, I think, ultimately Elvis and all those guys. So the glove that he was so famous for, if you remember the glove that he wore, that sold for $49,000 at an auction in Australia. And it was a phone bid that came in. It was from the Hard Rock Cafe in Las Vegas. So $49,000 for Michael Jackson's glove. Which seems like a lot of money to all of us, but just a mere blip on the screen for a place like Hard Rock Cafe or any of the anonymous people that were also bidding on that. Here's one of the interesting, funny moments that I happened to catch over the weekend on one of the cable stations. The march down the aisle is always interesting for most people, whether you're nervous, you're trying not to look around. A lot of you guys can remember that. Were you sweating? Did your tie seem to get tighter? And so there's this as much as the couple talks about it, there's always this kind of nervous, I think, release in front of the pastor or priest or whoever you get married in front of, rabbi, whoever. So you're standing up there, and the last thing you want to do, I think, is get hysterical and not be able to get it together because you're crying so much. Or, well, what happens when something funny happens and you just can't stop laughing? Here's what it sounded like at one wedding, exactly that.
Be my waffle-offly and pancakey. I've been scared of this all my life.
All right, so if you caught that, what the pastor said was waffly, meaning lawfully. You know, they meant to say lawfully. Matt, you've been to a lot of weddings lately. I've been to a lot of weddings and, of course, my own wedding. And there is always that weird thing sometimes that happens between couples and somebody bursts out or something happens awkward or, you know, whatever, and everybody gasps. Have you ever been at a wedding where somebody kind of got hysterical and messed up their words?
Actually, what happened that's kind of a funny story is I had two cousins who both got married in the same church, you know, about probably 5 or 6 years apart. And at each of their weddings, the groomsman, who is like the second one, the one next to the best man, fainted in both weddings in the exact same spot. Fell right to the ground, hit their head on the bed and on the floor and everything, just completely fainted and out of it.
Oh, you're kidding. I'm sure people gasped when they saw that.
Yeah, and it was total deja vu because it was one wedding and then like 5 years later in the exact same place, the same, like, it wasn't the same person, but the same, you know, location and everything.
Same
thing happened. So that's,
yeah,
that's like the only thing I can remember where it was a big gaffe or something kind of crazy happening. That's the only thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah, that's a gaffe, definitely. And that, of course, then everybody stops, and that's a big moment, I would say. The bride laughing, I think for most, you know, it's just one of those nervous tension things, but it was pretty funny when she burst out laughing. Usually, it seems like people are nervous or somebody's crying. I mean, I've seen the crying thing, but someone to burst out the way she did. But it was just funny, waffly instead of lawfully. So, one of those moments in life, and you can't re-rack it. You just go with it. You just improvise. That's what you do. Speaking of improvising, I think that's what the White House did, is we re-racked the big headers for you. In case you missed it, you just tuned into America Tonight. Happy Labor Day weekend, as there's still some time left off for a lot of people. Obama says he did not order Van Jones's resignation. According to his advisors, Van Jones was the green czar. And it turns out that Van Jones had quite an interesting past, and that past started to get revealed. I think particularly when he had some vulgar things to say about the Republicans, it was tough to take that back because it was all over YouTube. And then the ties to communism and the September 11th terror attacks, the fact that he signed a petition calling for an investigation into whether the government deliberately allowed the attacks to happen. So there were a few things that started to become massively embarrassing, I think, for Obama because they became made public and people threw a fit, of course. I believe that he was asked to step down. Of course, they're saying he wasn't asked to step down or certainly suggested, I think, that maybe this is taking away from what's going on here or whatever. So Jones sends in his resignation on Saturday just after midnight. And what's very strange to add to this, Robert Gibbs was on one of the Sunday shows this week on ABC and said that Obama doesn't endorse the actions by Van Jones before he joined the administration, but he's really thanking him for his service to the country, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, when he was asked last week about what would happen with Jones and whether he still had confidence in him, there wasn't much comment from the White House. Only saying that they would, that he would continue to work for them. So you knew that the handwriting was on the wall. So that's what happened, really. Let's face it. What's very strange about the Obama administration is whether it's trying to slide people under the door and not have you realize what's really happening intentionally, or whether it's just pure stupidity because somebody's not vetted out correctly. Big mistakes like this one continue to happen. And I think this is a big mistake. First of all, you know already cap and trade has not been well received by everybody. So it goes through the House. The whole going green thing is iffy for a lot of people. Not the things of recycling or whatever, but the fact that things are being foisted, but I keep saying things, but possible regulations are being foisted on the American people. So it's a touchy thing anyway. That supposedly there's going to be these green jobs that are created, and the stimulus is going to have these green jobs and all this other stuff. So now you have a guy like this who's got ties to communism, who signed this petition, a Truth or 9/11 petition, who blasted the Republicans and, you know, a bunch of other things dancing out of the closet. And that was really the big story, I think, heading out of the Labor Day week, and the fact that he just quietly resigned and all of a sudden, boom, that's it. Now, the other big story, of course, is Obama talking to the school kids on Tuesday when everybody is going to be back in school. A lot of schools refusing to show it and saying they'll make the video available if the parents want to see it with their kids. And then others saying, of course, we're going to show it. Then Obama's education secretary coming forward and saying, well, we're going to release a transcript, basically the text of what he's going to say. That's going to be on whitehouse.gov. But originally, let's roll the tape back. When it was first thrown out there, he's going to address the school kids. And, oh, yeah, we have this curriculum that we're handing out to the schools as a follow-up to it. So it came off, if it was just a rah-rah, go back to school, work hard speech like other presidents have done, fine. The problem was, again, in the execution. So when you have so many people saying, wow, this guy is the most, he is the, of anyone we've ever had who's been very, very left, this guy is number one in the Senate. Now he's the president. So automatically, you're just throwing more fuel on the fire, his own administration, because they don't get it together. They don't talk to the school districts. They don't put out feelers. And then they don't tell them what they told them, that, you know, do this for Obama. It just went down all wrong. So if it was completely innocent and it wasn't motivated politically or to grease the skids because Obama's got this big health care thing that's happening the week or whatever, then it should have been executed in a much different manner. And unfortunately, they bobbled the ball again. Like I say, if they were a sports team, I don't know how many times they would get into the red zone. And then when they did get into the red zone, I really can't tell you how many times they would score. Not too often lately, especially. In the meantime, a couple of other things. A big thing that happened at the end of the week, we talked about a lot. In fact, we had somebody on who was right there where the fires, pretty close to where the fires were happening. And we talked about what was going on with California, that here they're in this budget crisis. There was some money held back that you could use for emergencies, and now it's cost almost $45 million as a result of these California fires. The governor is offering $100,000 for any information that leads to the arrest and conviction of the arson or arsonist. Two firemen died, very, very sad. They were killed when they're engine basically fell off the road and down an 800-foot ravine. And one fireman I've learned more about them, Arnie Quinones. He left a pregnant wife behind. And then the other firefighter left behind a wife and two adult sons, Ted Hall. So certainly for their families, just awful. I hope they catch whoever did that. The big news is, though, over 50% contained at this point. That's a big sigh of relief, I think, for the people of Southern California. Stay with us.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Relyon Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
ECigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
If you suffer from arthritis, aches, or pains, RxMagnets.com has the answer you've been looking for. RxMagnets.com carries three amazing products that can help relieve the pain that you live with each day. The Liquid Magnet Complex will boost energy and mental clarity, help relieve headaches, psoriasis, itching, inflammation, and even toothaches. The Magnetic Care Cream helps relieve sprains, bruises, acne, insect bites, liver spots, scars, and stretch marks. The RX Magnets help aid in sleep, relieves arthritis pain, and sinus congestion. Whatever your ailment, be sure to visit RxMagnets.com for more information and to see which product will work best for you. With over 30 years of experience, these specially designed patented products are developed with the highest quality materials and are backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxMagnets.com today. That's RxMagnets.com, RxMagnets.com, or call 866-528-1481. That's 866-528-1481 today.
Birthday cake and the candles ready to go. If you're celebrating a birthday, great day for a birthday. You're on Labor Day weekend. He's blowing out the candles on yet another birthday. Jeff Foxworthy, very funny guy. Elizabeth Vargas from ABC News. Rosie Perez, the actress, she's celebrating a birthday. Also celebrating a birthday, rapper Foxy Brown. We get to birthdays. I'll tell you how old all of those people are. In the meantime, I bet you didn't know this. National Waffle Week begins today. Good excuse to eat a waffle. Go to IHOP or Pancake House or wherever you go. Ooh, haven't had waffles in a long time. Matt, do you like waffles?
Yeah, definitely. Who doesn't like waffles?
Yeah, but do you just like them with butter and syrup on them, or do you like them with whipped cream and other stuff, or what?
I've had them always. I like them both. You know, you can do the whipped cream and strawberry or blueberry or whatever other kind of fruit you want, or throw some chocolate chips in there. It's good every way.
I think it's good every way, too. I like waffles. I haven't had waffles in a long time. They even have healthy ones now. You can get whole wheat waffles, and they're not bad. I mean, you just, you know, put some butter on them. Put some of that syrup stuff on them. It is also Iguana Awareness Day. When I went to Ecuador, they had this plaza that was just loaded with iguanas. Very, very scary to me. I don't really appreciate the iguana. If the iguana is far away from me, I do. But if it's somewhere near me, I'm not feeling the love for the iguana, if you know what I mean. This is kind of interesting. Coming up in the next couple of days, the Beatles on 9/9/9, so September 9th, 09, baby. It's a huge day, actually, for the Beatles. There are a lot of Beatle fans that will do anything to get their hands on something new from the Beatles. Now, whether it resonates with younger people or not, I don't know. But Revolution 9, they are now talking about what's going to be part of this Beatles stuff that they're releasing. It's remastered versions of the catalog, and it gives the people who buy it, the remaining members of the Fab Four, say, what is the closest reproduction ever, ever, is what Paul McCartney is saying, to how their music sounded in the studio. They're also going to release a video game. The Beatles Rock Band will be released that very same day. And on top of that, there's this rumor going around that there's a planned music-themed announcement by Apple that's supposed to happen on 999. It's because if you remember, the Beatles are one of the groups whose music has never been approved for sale by the iTunes deal. And so now they've got some kind of some buzz that they're creating, so it's got to be something big. How about that? And the Beatles are, you know, I mean, the Beatles are the Beatles, and their music is still played on the radio today. In fact, we have Beatles tunes that we play here that in and out of America Tonight at times. So it's very clever. 999. All right, off to news you can abuse. Got some good ones for you that you might not have heard already. Here's one from Delray Beach, Florida. This is pretty bad when you do this. When you call 911 because you have a bad case of the munchies, and apparently that's what happened to Benjamin Dewar. He made two calls to that number. They say that he told officers he was hungry and wanted a ride. When the responding officers refused, police say he called a second time. He was drunk. That's such a no-no. He's now charged with making false calls to 911. So he must have had that drunk thing going on where you want to eat, like, the whole bags of Doritos. Could he have not called a friend? The guy has to have some friends. He must have been out having some drinks with somebody. Duh. Don't call the cop when you're in that state. Let's go to Alaska. Steve Hobach is claiming a Guinness World Record for what? We always have one of these. For the largest cabbage in the world. The head of cabbage weighed in at 126 pounds at the Alaska State Fair. The final weigh off is coming up in a day or two, and I guess he says he has an even bigger cabbage at home. Ooh, that's pretty big, 126 pounds. Lincoln, Nebraska. I've often wondered about this now with the whole texting thing, and I guess they're going to try it at the Nebraska football games. Fans that are behaving badly might get fingered at the games. University of Nebraska police set up a text messaging system. What happens is Cornhusker fans can type on their cell phones from the stands and send a message to the campus cops. The school is one of the first to actually adopt the text-based police reporting system. And, of course, they started their season. We'll see how that works because it could be the opposite thing. Although I guess they could bust you pretty easy because they would have your cell phone. So if you were trying to be funny and blow the whistle on somebody just to bust somebody you didn't like or someone who was hitting on your girl or whatever, it would probably bite you in the rear end anyway in the end. I think it's not a bad idea. They may start using that in other venues, other sporting venues where people get out of control. Although I'd hate to be the one who fingered somebody and then something happens. Let's go to the Netherlands. Dutch police thought they had a big pot bust, but it turns out they're just embarrassed. Check this out. Earlier this week, they thought they found 47,000 cannabis plants. Estimated street value of $6.5 million. That's a lot of do-re-mi. But after they had the field mowed down, they learned that the plants were part of an officially sanctioned university research project. Scientists at the school say they were growing a new strain of hemp. The researchers say their hemp is related to the marijuana plant, but with only trace amounts of the THC, of course, the chemical that gives pot its high. The school said the hemp field was actually part of the project to develop a sustainable source of fiber. Ooh, that is a very ugly mix-up, I must say. Speaking of mix-ups, he's not John Stossel, but you know how it is when you have a name or you look like somebody, especially someone well-known? Despite the fact that people in Madison Wiss, oh, I like Madison, it's so fun. People ride their bikes everywhere there. News anchor John Stofflet, and that's his name, gets confused with John Stossel. He says he gets a lot of calls and emails, and he was getting a bunch of them about a speech in Middleton, which isn't far from Madison. It turns out Stossel, who gave the talk on health care reform there, so Stossel does the newscasts on a local NBC affiliate in Madison, and the mix-up started during the 80s, I guess, during his first job at an ABC station in Madison. He said he called an ABC network producer in New York once who said, Stossel, what are you doing in Wisconsin? my job? Whoops. And see, that shows you. His name isn't even Stossel, but it's close enough that people get confused. All right, let's take you through a couple of interesting things that happened this day in history. Like this one, the youngest person to ever swim the English Channel, 11-year-old Thomas Gregory, swam from France to Dover, England, 12 hours. He did it in 88. In 1990, Canadian singer Paul Anka became a U.S. citizen. He was being sworn in, and then police were towing his car outside. That's a bummer, isn't it? How about this? 1992, a 35-year-old man received a transplanted baboon liver. Sadly, died at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center 10 weeks after the surgery, but he did survive for 10 more weeks. In 1997, Britain's Princess Diana was buried in the grounds of her family home. The worldwide TV audience for the funeral ceremonies was estimated at over 2 billion. Yeah, that was absolutely huge. In 1999, a Rio de Janeiro court ruled that a clothing store had to pay a 23-year-old female law student moral damages of $267 after the teeny-weeny red bikini it sold her turned see-through when it got wet. Ooh, yeah, that would not be good. In 2003, an Australian man picked up $2.5 million in lottery prize money almost a year after winning it. The mechanic in his 40s said he delayed because he didn't need the money, that his wages were enough to support his lifestyle. After waiting a year, he finally decided to get the financial future he wanted for his kids. He paid off his home loan, bought a new car, and gave some money to a charity. Good for him. Time for birthdays. Can we have the music, please?
I need birthday singers! Come on, people! We need birthday singers!
Oh, thank goodness. We got those birthday singers. Rapper Foxy Brown is 30. Rosie Perez, the actress, 45 years old. Comic Joanne Worley from Laughing, 72. Actress Swoozie Kurtz, 65. From Saturday Night Live, Jane Curtin turned 62. Journalist from ABC. She works with John Stossel. Elizabeth Vargas is 47. And I think this guy's pretty funny still. Comedian Jeff Foxworthy is 51. Go out and celebrate and hug your family. And remember, no matter what, we still live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. You can always reach out and grab that brass ring.